Welcome inside the FIU Athletics podcast. Excited to reboot this project here from the campus of FIU about once a month or so, be bringing you the biggest story from FIU Athletics, and it is all brought to us by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of FIU Athletics. Well, right now, the biggest story on campus is, without a doubt, FIU women's soccer coming off of back-to-back raising of trophies. They did it in the regular season, splitting it with the Liberty Flames, a team that FIU beat in Lynchburg in dramatic 3-0 fashion, but still, same number of points, therefore you share the trophy. Not so in the postseason. FIU knocks off Liberty 1-0 in the CUSA tournament right here in Miami in front of their home fans and go on to head to the NCAA tournament. Our creative team here at FIU put together a great listen back. You'll be able to hear from Noemi, Reagan, Camille, all the way back in the beginning of this season, off of their best campaign in a decade, and then how it all unfolded in the Conference USA final.
It's no secret, I'm gonna go for a championship. I think this year is the good year for that. We've been working every year a new level, and I think this is a level, and this is the clear goal playoff this season at home. So we are expecting to live the trophy here.
Like, this is our last one. Like, we're going for a championship, because if we don't get it this year, like, it's our last chance. And we're at a point where we've all developed so much that this is the year that we can definitely do it.
Be able to finish off our season here. And with the timing of where we are in our development, looking for the championship season, and being able to do that with our fans, our crowd, is just
Together, 1, 2, 3.
No splitting today. Only one raises a trophy, goes to the NCAA tournament, and calls themselves postseason champions of CUSA play.
It's a 0-0 game, just how we love them. It's always 0-0. And eyes of our hearts. They need to suffer these next 45 minutes. Remember, it ain't Christmas yet. Not for them. For us, every day is a holiday on our field. So right now, you've proven you are up for it.
Tremendous touch from Buckey. Battle right in front of the six. Down goes Noemi. And a point to the spot. FIU will take a PK in the championship. A vital piece this season. Bieniemy strikes first. Bieniemy's first career goal is in the championship. Ivy Garner into the area. Garner centering feed, knocked away by Celine. Chaos ball by the six, blocked by Restrepo, and she sits on it. We got the opportunity to catch up with a couple of the key pieces from that run, the head coach Jonathan Garber and the player with the game-winning goal, who's been doing it for a few years now here at FIU, in Deborah Bieniemy, and they both joined us here on the Pause Up podcast. A reminder that the podcast is presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of FIU Athletics. Without further ado, the guy who put it all together, Jonathan Garber, joins us now on the podcast. Here now with the head man, Jonathan Garber. Coach, obviously, it's all just settling in, I imagine, at this point. But when you look back at the entirety of the experience that was a championship season, what stands out to you emotionally from the whole standpoint of it?
I think what stands out the most is gratitude for all those who put us in a position to have this type of season. I've said it before. A lot has led up to our ability to be able to achieve what we achieved this season. But I feel like every season that we've worked together, there's been tremendous achievements. It's just that this season, it's obviously far easier to recognize because of the championships.
When you look back, obviously everyone, I think, understands what it means to go to the NCAA tournament and how the hoisting of two trophies is the goal. Everything after that takes on a life of its own. And even understanding you didn't necessarily get the results you want, what stands out to you going back to that Auburn match?
Yeah, I mean, first, you know, give a tremendous amount of credit to Auburn.
Yeah.
They're ranked number 6 in the country for a reason. They're a historic program. They're tremendous. They're extremely well coached. They have tremendous players. And I thought that they were up for the match, and they showed their experience in the match.
For sure.
So all the credit to Auburn. From our end, you know, we talked about earning a third season, which was conference tournament play. and what would be required of us now that we have experience in the conference tournament, what's required of us to be successful, and what our standards would be. We achieved that. Earning a fourth season NCAA was something that was obviously brand new to us as a program.
Right.
And I'm extremely proud of the fact that our players were not just excited about hoisting two trophies, they were so excited about being able to experience the national tournament and to represent Conference USA in the mid-major in the national tournament. So their approach and their attitude to earning that place was really inspiring. Typically, you'll find teams, I think, in those moments where they're just satisfied with achieving far more than what was expected of them. But because they expected that of themselves, they expected to be in the national tournament, which I think allowed us to be able to approach a national tournament with a certain level of confidence. I do think what was disappointing about the national tournament was that we weren't really able to demonstrate what we're capable of performance-wise on that stage. I think when you eat a goal in the first 4 minutes of a match on a set piece, that obviously deflates you quite a bit.
Right.
And you're going to be battling back away from home on the biggest pitch in the SEC against that type of team. I love the way that we battled back the next 15 minutes. I thought we found our place into the game. And then you eat a second goal of a set piece. The reality is we gave up as many set piece goals in that one match that we did all season.
Right.
So that match was certainly frustrating in that regard. But I think the experience of being able to compete at that level and the players needed to believe that we as an organization are now prepared to not simply be there, but to compete with the best in the country. Anyone who watched that match will be able to notice both our naivety in certain ways,
sure,
but also the quality and the potential moving forward. So there's a tremendous amount to be excited about, the ability to be able to experience that and both experience the suffering that comes along with that level, as well as the ability to be able to find great performance-based success at that level and to enjoy it is something that will drive us as we move forward as an organization.
I have to imagine, as you talk about that belief, now that you're going about getting ready for next year, it's much easier to sell that belief that you can show it to somebody instead of just, hey, here's what we're trying to do. Here's our potential proof of concept. Now you've got it. Hey, here it is. The proof is in the video. We've done it.
Yeah. No, I mean, That's a great point. And for me, the only people that I'm really concerned with proving that we have earned believing at that level are the players.
Right.
And I think that our loyal fans have been tremendous in supporting us, you know, particularly as we went from last year to this year. Our most loyal fans have really helped to drive the belief amongst the group, but you could see it in the conference tournament. That was really important. You don't have to sell something that you've already done, but now that we have gone to that level of competing in the national tournament, the fact that our players can now see that, listen, we belong on that stage, we can compete at that level, we are now in the conversation to be able to represent the best of the mid-majors. I don't have to convince them of anything anymore. You're right. Sure.
I know you got exit meetings coming up, and obviously this is an emotional time under any circumstance, but especially when it's this group of four-year seniors. How do you begin to tell this group how much they mean not only to you, but to FIU athletics, to what women's soccer has achieved at this level? How do you even begin to explain that in words? It's difficult.
Yeah. I mean, I think like anything else, you do the best you can. But again, I think words just can't encapsulate what, you know, those players have meant to the program and to the institution. We talk a lot in our program about being a program of action, and that what you do really dictates and demonstrates who you are and what you're about. What I've tried to do this season is not speak too much on that. I mean, I've spoken a lot on other things, but on that, I've tried to make it more about what I, as the head coach and our staff and everyone around those players, has been able to act on, putting them in the best position to achieve the things they wanted to achieve. I know from a long time ago that our players, that what they're looking for most from me and from us is to help them achieve their goals and to put them in the best position to be successful. So my number one motivator this season was to be able to, you know, help drive the program in a direction where they can do what they do best, and that is to play football and to compete. And I think their ability to be able to earn the championships they have and to have the kind of historic performance this season that they've had is in so many ways, because so much of the attention was put on really making sure that this season was one that they can put their name on, because I mean, they built this program. So their ability to leave the program on their terms, I think, is the most important thing. I think the greatest gift you can give yourself is leaving something on your terms with no regrets. And the fact that they're able to walk away with no regrets is probably something that 1% of the competitive population can ever say. Now it's really a matter of being able to celebrate them as best we can before they move on. And that's really what we're focusing on. These exit interviews and all these meetings, really our number one focus right now is to be able to make sure that we celebrate the achievements of those players.
I'm curious if you've gone back, and I only asked this because I did it the other day. You go all the way back to when these players were freshmen, even before when this thing started, and you look at what FIU women's soccer was then, and you look at what it is now. Have you seen, obviously you've seen it, but have you gone back and watched it and kind of processed that growth in real time?
I've tried to force myself to do that these last couple of days throughout the season. That's just not where the mind goes, or I think even where you want the mind to go. But I've tried to not immediately get into the what's next mentality,
right,
and trying to, you know, immediately push towards the focus on what do we need to do now to be even better. That's obviously something that all of us as competitors struggle with at times. Mm-hmm. I think right now, being able to sit back and really enjoy the fruits of your labor in terms of being able to spend time with the people that have driven this program to where it is, has been really important. I think I have my staff right now actually working on a number of different projects, and one of those is, you know, kind of analyzing that growth, mm-hmm, and so that we can not just celebrate ourselves, but so we can better identify what were the areas that were most crucial towards the kind of progress that we've experienced. But I think the biggest thing when it comes to that growth and development is, you know, we made a commitment 3.5 years ago, and that commitment we made to the players that we were recruiting, which was, if you come here, you're going to be able to put your name on something that no one has ever done.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you it's easy, and there's a reason why no one's done it. But if you come here and if you commit to it, you'll have the opportunity to put your name on something, and no one will be able to take that away from you. So for me, our ability to keep our word to ourselves,
right,
as individuals and as a group and as a community, that to me is probably what I'm most proud of, because I think that the most important, the finest definition of integrity is keeping your word. And here we've kept our word.
For sure.
So that's probably what we're most proud of.
Going to talk to Deb in a minute, but I want to hear it from your standpoint. The PK is called. You've got to make a decision. You know, obviously, what the stakes are. Why Deb?
You know, there's a number of reasons. You know, I could sit here and give you a 30-minute synopsis in terms of what we saw in terms of training. And what we saw on film and what we saw from the opposition keeper and what we've seen from Deb. I mean, we trained this, mm-hmm, for a full week, and we went into very deep analysis with each player's PKs. And frankly, there's a number of our players who we were confident,
right,
with in that moment. But the main reason why it was Deb is simply because of her ability to be able to navigate the emotions of big moments. I think this season she came into her own in terms of not only her ability to orchestrate our team in and out of possession, but also her ability to be able to, in the most emotional moments in the match, in moments in which we really needed someone to demonstrate the ability to both be very aggressive and, mm-hmm, very ruthless in their actions, their ability to also be very pragmatic and very cold. And in that moment, leading up to that match, we had to make a decision that was both, I think, emblematic of what we saw just football-wise,
right,
in training, but also instinctually what I had seen from Deborah throughout the season made it very clear to me that she had to be the one. All the, you know, the data, all the facts of, you know, the fact that she's never had a goal before, to me that means zero.
Sure.
In that moment, where we are as a program, where she is in her development, it had to be Deb. And that was a collective staff decision and one that we were very confident with. And obviously the fact that she buried it can make you look like you made a good decision. But the reality is that whether she buried it or not, that was a decision we were willing to live with also because of the fact that so much of what we've done this season has been put on her back. So you always want to ride with the player that you, yep, believe has earned the moment and that you trust. And I think Deborah represents a player that has both earned it, that moment, and a player that we just simply trust at a very high level.
And I think it's the fact that it's her first goal, first PK, makes it storybook, right? Yeah. It's Hollywood in its way. And that's the perfect way to describe this season. And I promise I'm not trying to get you to cry. But at the end of the day, the way it unfolded, this team's last ride as constructed with this initial group, you laid it out from the beginning, build the foundation, find that competitive level, embrace the opportunity. And it gets to its final act, and it ends exactly the way that you hoped. If I come to you 3 years ago and say, Coach Garber, your plan's going to work, you're telling me, absolutely, we have no doubt, right?
Yes, I would say that we had no doubt. If the question was going to be when, and
right.
That's something that I told the players early on when we had to suffer through, you know, some tough times results wise, which you always know that's going to come, but you don't really know how it's going to feel. The fact that the players, and you are going to get me emotional. You always tend to do that, Corey. The fact that the players were both loyal to themselves, mm-hmm. To the program, even when I think most competitors would really struggle to be consistent with that loyalty and to act on it, even in the most challenging of times, is a testament to the characters that we have within the program. The belief was always there. I think it was just a matter of how effective, how efficient can we be in achieving it, and when is it going to happen? And as I think anyone who works in this business knows, you're not always going to have the time.
Right.
And is for a lot of reasons, you know, you're not always going to have the time to build what you want to build. I think those who really understand what it is required to build something, particularly when you're starting from, you know, where we started, understand that time and purpose are the most important elements. And fortunately, both of those elements, I think, came together because we had the right people. So yes, this is, I agree with you. I think that this is a case study in what can happen when you allow a group of people the time to be able to build something together. And that group of people attack it with a great sense of purpose. These are the things that can happen. And the reason why it feels very rare is because I don't think oftentimes we give people, organizations enough time, and or organizations, people struggle with being consistent with their purpose.
Sure.
Those two things came together. And for that reason, we were able to have the kind of season that is one that we'll be able to tell stories about for the rest of our lives.
That's the biggest thing. The players remember it forever. Fans remember it forever. You'll remember it forever. Coach, appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate you, man.
Always great to catch up with Jonathan Garber. It's been fun to watch as that team has completely morphed over these last few years, and they get the payoff here right at the end with so many of those seniors getting that classic Hollywood ending as they are Conference USA champions. On the other side, we will catch up with the player who's experienced as much of that growth as any and put the Panthers on to the NCAA tournament. Deborah Bieniemy joins us after the break.
We often welcome people as a standard greeting. It's become as common as greeting another with a hello. At Baptist Health, being welcome has far deeper meaning. So welcome to the warmer side of care, where we advance innovation and treatments through research while educating the next generation of experts all close to home. Here, the sun shines through each one of us as we stand by each one of you. Welcome to the warmer side of care. Welcome to Baptist Health.
Joined now by the star of the moment, celebrating it all, Deborah Bieniemy. Deb, I think the first question almost writes itself. Take us through the moment where coach says, all right, you're taking the penalty kick. This may very well be for a Conference USA championship.
Honestly, I remember it pretty vividly.
Sure.
I see Noam go down, and I'm thinking, oh, like, it's a PK. Like, that means it's my time. I got to step up for the team. But, like, the moments where the penalty is called and the ref is going over to check the VAR, kind of just standing there. But in my mind, like, I'm thinking what I'm going to do. But honestly, it just kind of felt like I was okay. Like, I felt fine. I wasn't nervous. It's kind of just something that's like, oh, like, I've done this before. And I think just it started, like, earlier going into the game, just knowing that, like, there's no pressure. Like, this is just another game mm-hmm. that my team's going to play. We know how to play. And if we execute how we've been playing before, then it'll take care of itself. So basically, I don't know, stepping up, taking the PK, it was just another training day PK. But yeah, just trusting what I knew, like what I was going to do and sticking to that.
So you knew before the game that you would be the designated PK taker?
Yes.
Okay. So take us before that moment then. So whatever, I guess the night before when Coach Garber said, hey, okay, if we see a point to the spot, that's a point to your spot. You're going to get ready to go.
Yeah, no, that moment I was kind of nervous. my name was on first to take the PK. Then I was like, okay, well, the coach is entrusting me in this.
Right.
And I know that my team will be behind me like they have like throughout all the training sessions where we've trained this. So it was kind of just me believing in myself. Like, I can do this. If the coaches can believe in me, so can I. And, yeah, acting on that.
If I go all the way back to the Broward County Player of the Year, Deborah Bien-Aimé, and say, by the time it's all said and done, you're going to be a Conference USA champion in the regular season and in the postseason, what is a young Deb telling me in response?
Honestly, wouldn't have a response. I'd be, like, speechless. I think coming from my high school, where we've had a lot of success, like in the regionals, mm-hmm. And just within our like team, it's kind of like, okay, it's kind of something that's expected. But coming here and having to rebuild throughout all those years, I wouldn't have expected it 4 years ago. But now that I'm looking back, it's kind of like, okay, this makes sense. Like, I could see this now all working together.
How much more meaningful was it for you doing it in South Florida? You know, friends and family around, basically a little highway drive down. That had to add something special.
Yeah, it meant the world. I had a lot of friends reach out. Some of my old coaches reached out as well, family members. But yeah, doing it here where I was raised, where I played my whole life, I can't even put into words, but it's perfect.
For you, how do you feel you've grown the most since you started? And Coach Garber talked about it a little bit, but, you know, especially this spring, it seemed like you took that extra next step. But for you, from your standpoint, what changed to get you to an even higher level?
There's so many different parts to it. I think each year, both fall and spring, I've faced different challenges that I wouldn't have expected. But being able to kind of see the challenge with like an open mind and knowing that there's a way right through this, and that this is ultimately going to help me get better as a player, and just focusing on that and how I can help myself and how I can help my team. This past fall came from the spring. Last fall wasn't as good. Beginning of spring wasn't as good. But I think the biggest step there that helped me to now was just the mentality aspect. And I feel like that has so many, like, how do I put this into words? It's been the most helpful. For sure, because it doesn't just entail like in the sport, in the soccer realm, but like everything throughout. So I know that it'll overall like just improve me as a person.
Kind of going through that adversity and knowing how to deal with it. To be fair, I talk about growth. I remember your freshman year and you played really well. And the results didn't necessarily show it. And you weren't the only one. This freshman group that has now won a championship all came in at that same time. But you did stand out as somebody who I was like, oh, wow, you know, there's an impact tackle from Bien-Aimé, and defenders don't necessarily get the love, right? Because there's no national stat for it. You know, if you score 15 goals, NCAA.com will say 15 goals, national leader. That doesn't exist for a defender. So how do you maintain that positive mindset? And maybe it always wasn't positive, but to maintain that energy through the challenging years to get to this point now of a championship.
Well, we'll see how you put it. Like, as a defender, it's not seen, but as an attacker, it is. I think kind of having that same mindset and knowing that this is going to help my team regardless if people see it or not. So just knowing what I can do to help myself, help the team, and help us improve and get to the next step.
How much closer have you gotten with this group from all the way then to now?
It's a lot closer.
I'm sure.
Yeah, like, we're together day in, day out, and now, like, 4 years together. I remember freshman year, like, I was really quiet then, so I maybe talked to a few of the girls that are still here. But, yeah, no, we've been through challenging moments as a team, and, like, so many times, faced different obstacles, and we've also been together for the good times. So I think us growing up with each other and being together in those moments has really allowed us to take that next step in our relationship.
As you kind of get ready for these exit meetings, these final moments, what are the parting thoughts after 4 years here with FIU Women's Soccer?
It's just a lot of feelings of like gratefulness.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Looking back 4 years, like from those 4 years ago, I could never imagine I'd be here. And so kind of looking back on that and reflecting and thinking about what got us to this moment, the people that got us there, and all the feelings and emotions, but also like kind of those driving us to action. That was really, yeah.
How important is it for you, not only as far as legacy goes with now on the field success in the two championships, but you've got Spirit of Service awards, you know, you've done that off the pitch stuff as well. And now anybody who looks back at this time can see Deborah Bien-Aimé, complete student athlete, not just soccer player. How meaningful is that for you?
It's great, honestly. I think being here at FIU has really helped me to do that. I probably wouldn't have been as well-rounded of a student, honestly, like, because I've had so many people, so many mentors push me to like grow off the field. And it's definitely part of my life that I really enjoy and look forward to, like, career-wise. But I think being able to balance both well, is something that I've definitely had to learn throughout the years.
Without.
But yeah, I'm just really glad I got to do both and do it well.
What is the final word from Deborah Bien-Aimé as this podcast winds down to Panther fans, to your teammates, however you want to do it, the final thoughts of Deborah Bien-Aimé, Conference USA champion?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'll put this to my teammates. Thank you, honestly, for being themselves, being who they are, being a part of the team, and everyone else in this community that have seen us, especially over the years, but also this year alone, and just helping us in whatever way that they did. Just a big thanks, because we couldn't have done it without them and without every individual player.
No doubt. All right, Deb, we appreciate it. It's been fun 4 years. We've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
A great conversation with Deb there. It really has been fun to watch this team grow. Kind of a podcaster's note here. This freshman group came in my first full year here at FIU. And so we really have gotten to see the full progression from a group of very clearly talented freshmen seeking results to now the ultimate result. Conference USA Championships in the regular season, the split erased in the postseason. They raise two trophies and go out the best way possible. That's going to do it for us here on the podcast. Appreciate you joining us. Happy to be back here in the podcasting realm. Plenty more coming for you. A lot of great things going on here on the campus of FIU. But for now, and as always, pause up.
We often welcome people as a standard greeting. It's become as common as greeting another with a hello. At Baptist Health, being welcome has far deeper meaning. So welcome to the warmer side of care, where we advance innovation and treatments through research while educating the next generation of experts all close to home. Here, the sun shines through each one of us as we stand by each one of you. Welcome to the warmer side of care. Welcome to Baptist Health.